Hey everybody, welcome back to Last Christian, another episode we're going to have studying the Bible. I think it's been like a year and a half and we're zooming right along. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 9, even though there's so much more in the other stuff, sometimes it gets a little too deep down the rabbit hole. So we're just going to go ahead and talk about chapter 9. What do you think, JD? Move to 9?
Yeah, I'm all for it. You know, okay. Like I said, or you just mentioned it, actually, I never dreamed we'd be a year and a half in and still be in the book of Genesis, you know, with this comprehensive study. But it is comprehensive, and so I'm happy we're doing it. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lots of little rabbit holes in here. Genesis and Revelation, they're basically the bookends to what God wants you to know, and they tie together really well. Mm-hmm. One tells you how we got here, and one tells you how it's going to end.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
It all fits together. So would you feel up to praying us in?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Father, thank you so much for our time together here. And we do ask that you please bless this show and open the ears of those individuals out there who have yet to accept your son as their salvation. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we know that the only way we can get to you is through him, and that's what we ask that you do for us and for everyone out there that will just pledge their life to you. It is such an easy thing to do and yet so hard for so many. So please, Father, open their hearts and hear the message and allow the Holy Spirit to take it from there. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. So, I know we talk about the chicken event a lot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. So, we had the privilege of going to an island off of Puerto Rico, which was chock full of chickens.
Yeah, we didn't tell anybody when Mark was standing in for us. And by the way, many thanks to Mark Sutherland for stepping in for for a couple of shows. But yeah, we kept that a secret, David. We didn't give up your undisclosed location.
Yeah, you never tell anyone until you come back.
Right,
a lot of nefarious folks out there. It was cool because the chickens just run all over the place. Like, they're all over the beach, you know, and they chase you around. They're trying to get your sandwich. They're on the mountains. You know, it's like 5 o'clock in the morning. That's all you hear. It's like, oh, I guess it's time to get up.
Yeah, he's got the pictures to prove it, by the way.
Yeah. And we wound up to this one secluded beach, which was protected. So everybody who went there, they, you know, treated the chickens nice. Mm-hmm. And it's the funniest thing. We get down there, we get out of the car, and from all over the place, they're starting to converge. You know? What do you got? You got something to eat?
Yeah,
what do you got?
Food.
What do you got? A sandwich? What do you got? 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 And the little chicks running around.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Feed me. I can see it.
And then one of them was like, you know, the one set was on the side of the road, and she had probably like 8 little chicks, you know? And then we got close, and then I saw all the little chicks gather underneath the mother, and the mother just basically looked a little fatter, and you couldn't tell there was any chicks underneath her.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me of the chicken event where Jesus said, I would have gathered you like a hen gathers her chicks.
Amen.
And it's like, whoa, look at that. That's how he would have gathered Israel had they repented at the time.
Right.
And that's how he will gather us too. Like he said, he'll protect you under his wing.
Amen.
So the enemy can't even see you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing to me. Yeah. That just speaks to the contract term, because basically the legal contract we have with Jesus, we are invisible in that realm, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about today too. Let's read Genesis chapter 9. I'll read a handful of verses, and then we'll start to dig into them.
Okay, you going to go for any further than? There we go. Are you going to go any further than 3? Because I just got 1.
Yeah, I think I will, just to touch on it, just so people could get it. But let's read 3 here. Okay. But I have it up. It's no biggie.
Okay.
So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, every bird of the air, and on all that move on the earth, and all the fish of the sea, they are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. Okay?
Right.
And then 4 says, you shall not eat the flesh with its life in it, that is the blood. Mm-hmm. Surely I will require your lifeblood. So this, we'll get into this on another show because we've got way too much to talk about this. But yeah, it's important, like now, just to mention it. Mm-hmm. Whoever sheds man's blood, by his blood, by man his blood shall be shed. Mm-hmm. And for you, be fruitful and multiply and populate the earth abundantly and multiply in it. So that's called the Noahic covenant. Mm-hmm. And that's why I read the whole thing for now.
Okay.
So basically, we get in here, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Mm-hmm. There's a few things here. Well, why is he saying that to him again? Was this not given to Adam, and did it not continue through?
Well, I mean, again, now I'm not a Bible scholar, okay, but I'll tell you what I'm thinking.
Well, you're getting here pretty fast.
Well, you know, I'll look at it as when God gave Adam and Eve the garden, then all the animals were off limits, or even not even thought about as food. But he gave every tree and fruit and whatever to them.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no mention of any animal being sacrificed or anything like that. So this is a whole brand new deal coming up here. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if this is a new thing for Noah, or was this part of the reason that there was a flood in the first place? In other words, is it possible that some of these transhuman things mm-hmm. took animals as meal or whatever? Does that mm-hmm. make any sense, that question? Because yeah, well, it was kind of long-winded. No. Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
Okay.
Let me translate it for the
yeah, please
people
do.
Out there on air. So basically, we had the original covenant, right, with mm-hmm. Adam and Eve. Hey, you know, take care of this place, multiply, and don't eat that, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now we have the Noahic covenant, okay? Yeah. And it basically says don't kill people, because mm-hmm. if you shed his blood, then we're going to take your blood. And that, because that was kind of the crux of the chaos that was going on before the flood. The three races of Nephilim that were back then, they started killing each other, and then it kind of morphed over into mankind, and then mm-hmm. mankind started to kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't like a definitive rule for it yet. So he had to destroy everything because primarily the DNA, you know, the DNA was there. If the Nephilim corrupted all the human DNA, then the Savior couldn't come. Mm-hmm. So he had to literally wipe everybody out just so he can preserve, you know, Noah was perfect in his generations. So here we are afterwards, and then there's essentially a new covenant in here.
Mm-hmm.
So we see this a few times. We'll see it here, the Noahic covenant. And then when Moses comes along, we see that covenant. And then when Jesus comes along, he said, there's another covenant. There's a mm-hmm. new one there.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of suspect that when he returns after the rapture, there will be indeed another one that will basically rule and reign through the millennium, where mm-hmm. he is ruling and reigning on the earth, and that will be the covenant of that day. I think we talked about that on one of the previous shows, because,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you know, all the disciples, can you imagine them, and they're sitting around, you know, having a, you know, just a party with Jesus, and they're going on. Did you ever see, like, Jesus Christ Superstar? And
yeah,
like, what's
watch
the buzz?
Yeah,
tell me what's happening. So they got all the disciples, and they're all getting drunk around the table. I'm like, probably not how it happened.
Right.
But, the idea of everyone going around, and I'm thinking, yeah, well, they are around the table and they are eating together because that's mm-hmm. what they did. Did any of them ever consider that they would be writing scripture in the very short future?
No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Like Peter. Listen, let me cut off this guard's ear. Oh, by the way, Peter, I want you to write some books that will be around for eternity.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so I'm imagining possibly some of the people that are here today and are here when Jesus actually returns will be the ones to record those events and then have a new set of scripture.
I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Just like, just like they did. I'm surmising whether that's going to be the case or not. That would be cool if, one of us says, you know what? You were here when Jesus came back, and this is what I want you to write.
Mm-hmm. Well, you should be up for that, David. You're an author.
I'm going to put in an audition. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that'd be
cool. The Book of David.
That'd work.
Yeah. It'd be called The Hidden Book. I'll do it if he wants me to. But like James and John, they're like, hey, can we sit at your right hand and left hand?
Yeah, I remember that.
Mom wants to know if we can be like your right and left hand. What do you think? It's like, yeah, that's. Go sit down, woman. He didn't throw him out for that, so that's good.
No. He just told him it wasn't going to happen, basically.
Yeah, that's cute. Hey, go sit down.
That was good.
Oh, man, that's funny. So, all right, where was I? Oh, so that'd be cool, I think, if we do that. But that's what this is. There's a new dispensation, if you would, and that's what Noah's like, okay, now we have this new thing and this is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And a short story is don't kill people, you know, eat clean stuff. But it is right here. It says I require from every beast that we required. He says every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's new.
I give
that's
all
totally
to
new.
You. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I give the green plant. So it goes even further than, hey, they were vegetarians before the flood, because they were. Mm-hmm. Every animal and every human was a vegetarian until the Nephilim started to take over. Then they started to eat each other. Mm-hmm. And that was a problem, obviously. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now look at the Noah's rules. And this is for those who would try and force the Torah rules on us. It says every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. It doesn't say anything about the clean beasts. And I now clearly I don't want to eat nasty things, and I'm not going to, because he says they're pretty nasty. But if you want, you can eat them. Like lobsters are actually pretty nasty, but people love them, you know.
Yeah, I like lobster tail. That's really good.
But they're it's when you think about what they do, and it's like, oh. And shrimp and all the different things, and the clams, they clean the water out, so it's like I'm eating this filter. But he said everything. It's clearly right here, every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, go back up a little bit, because one thing I was going to ask you about, let me get it back up here where I can mm-hmm. read it.
Be fruitful, multiply.
And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and all the fish in the sea. They are all given into your hand. So I'm thinking, David, that up until this moment, that all the animals felt completely comfortable walking around and crawling all over them, and you know, you name it, whatever it was, a bug, a bird, whatever. They were all comfortable, and now all of a sudden they hear, wait a minute, we're meals now? Bye. See ya.
Hold on there, Bubba.
Because it says that they're basically full of dread, you know, so, you know, that... that tells me that that's kind of like it had to have been as plain to them as it was to Noah, right?
Yeah, it was crystal clear. So the word is dread or chatat, all right? Fear and dread, mora and chatat. So God is basically reestablishing the human dominion, just like in Genesis 1:28. Mm-hmm. But now it's in a fallen, post-judgment world. So, yeah, even though there was those years of chaos before the flood, it took time for that judgment to come into place, and that's what the flood was all about. So it mm-hmm. still had some, you know, garden-like properties
right
there.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fear kind of acted like a protective mechanism.
Okay.
So now that they can be used for food, and God institutes a distance and caution into creation. But that brings us back into Romans, I believe it is, where it says, you know, all creation groans and travails for the manifestation of the sons of God. Mm-hmm. So he's talking about that, you know, be fruitful, have dominion over everything. And then later on, like here, we're here today, all creation is saying, please, Jesus, come back.
Right.
And manifest so the sons of God can be manifest, and then we can go back to the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it, you know, Isaiah talks about that. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. Lion will eat grass like an ox.
Right.
Everything's going to go back to the way it was, and all creation is, like, anxious for that to happen.
Right.
So yeah. it's not just mankind, and we're all going to come back to this same crappy world. No, he's going to redo the whole world.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm probably going to get like a rhinoceros or something, you know, as a pet. Say, you hang out here. Just don't sit on my couch.
Yeah, right.
So they got the instinct to flee. You know what's cool? Is there is really good reason to believe that the animals actually talked.
Yeah, and I'm 100% convinced on that, because there's a verse in there somewhere, we may have even covered it, that says that God closed the mouths of the animals. I can't remember where that
Jubilees.
Was.
Yeah.
Was that in the Book of Jubilees, or was that in the Bible?
Yep.
Do you remember?
It was in Jubilees.
Okay.
But there's a lot of things like the serpent talked.
Yeah.
There's that.
And there was a donkey that talked later on. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's still some donkeys talking today.
Yes, there are.
They're known as Democrats.
I was thinking
Why
about
would you
that.
Pick that as your
Well, I mean, it fits perfect, doesn't it? I mean, it fits
it
absolutely Let's, perfect. You know, they
you
picked
think
the right. Yeah.
You wouldn't pick that.
Good grief.
Cool, like
it was perfect selection, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got that. In Jubilees chapter 3, I think, on that day was closed the mouths of all beasts and cattle and birds and whatsoever walk on the earth, and they could no longer speak.
Yeah.
For they had all spoken with one another with one lip and with one tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So not only that, they all spoke the same language.
Yeah. Well, and I guess everybody did. Humans and dogs,
yeah, like
and cats,
Dr. Doolittle,
and everybody. Yeah, that was perfect.
Yeah, so I am of the opinion that they did speak, because your dog can understand you today.
Absolutely.
You look at the dog, and he knows if he did something wrong.
Yeah.
He just can't say it.
Yeah. I mean, you can mention one word to an animal, just one word, and they know exactly what's coming. You know, good or bad, they know exactly what's coming.
So when we were on the island, we had these dogs, and I don't know if they were abandoned, but they were tiny little, I don't know, schnauzer-looking things, but they were nasty, except they were the nicest dogs. They looked like brother and sister, I think they were, and they had collars on. But they were scruffy, like they've been living in the street for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And it turns out it was a lady down the street who was a little bit nutty and just doesn't take
just
care of them.
Let
so
them
they
know.
Come over. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew exactly what we were talking about. They tried to get in the car. Can we go for a ride with you, please? Huh? Please. Come on, let me in. And the paws going up, I say, no.
Yep.
Okay. You know, and then we brought hot dogs. They knew what hot dogs were. You want a hot dog? Oh, that sounds great. So
I love it.
They were cute. We named them Pablo and Pedra. You know, they were Spanish. And they were adorable dogs, and I felt bad for them living in the street. But I mean, on an island, they're fine.
Yeah.
It's like it never gets fed out there. It doesn't get cold. There's plenty of chickens around.
Right.
So they're fine. So they were okay. They just needed a bath. But they were adorable. They even proper come to the care. Door when they were like in an Airbnb and they're looking in the door. You know, got any more mozzarella cheese? That was great. No, and you need to go back upstairs. Oh, okay. And they went back up the stairs.
Yeah, there you go.
Because we're on a cliff, you know. Yeah. Uh-huh. Like they went back up. They knew. So dogs know. They knew, and I think they can definitely talk to each other.
Yeah, me too. Small. I agree.
Yeah, so that's that. Now, I wanted to talk about not only the new covenant that he has. So it's a new contract, basically. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can eat the animals, but here's the deal. Don't eat the blood. Why? Because the life is in the blood. That leads us to this rabbit hole that we have of Baal, you know. And they would sacrifice the children. And because the life is in the blood. So the Nephilim knew that. Before the flood, that's why they would eat things. It specifically said they would, you know, eat and drink the blood. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, when Matthew talks about that, like in the days of Noah, they will be eating and drinking. Most people don't realize that the implications of that is not like, hey, we went out for dinner tonight. The implication was they were eating the flesh and drinking the blood of humans. If you read the Matthew in the Hebrew, it's like different words, really freaky. But here we are, and they're like, the life is in the blood. That's why all these pagan rituals require blood. When you're doing abortion, you're sacrificing that baby's a lot of blood, and they take that as their life source, which is pure evil. And then they, you know, when they scare kids and they get all that stuff, we say that word again, they're going to take us off of YouTube again. But you know what it is.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this crazy question here. But is every living, does every living thing, no matter what, have blood? Every living thing.
Well, plants have it's not blood as we know, like in an animal, but they got like, you know, plant juice, sap and things like that.
I wasn't thinking about plants. I was thinking more of, you know, you know, everything in the water, you know, every kind of water creature.
Yeah, all of them. Like coral. I don't know if coral has blood.
Yeah, or ants.
And that's kind of,
you know, something. I mean, it's a crazy question, I know. Anyway, yeah. I was just curious because God was really specific about that, you know? So, I don't know.
Yeah. I said, well, and it, you know what it does say is everything that does have blood.
Okay. Yeah. So that would DQ the like plants and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's an interesting question. Because I don't know if Carl does. Carl's like a half plant and half animal.
Yeah.
So it's weird.
Okay.
He makes all this weird stuff.
I told you I can come up with some good ones, and that was a good one right there.
Yeah. Well, God made it. How much more weird is that? Why did you make that? I didn't order that.
Yeah.
Just, it's mine. Leave it alone. So, all right, back to coherence here.
Okay.
So we got a new covenant, and it's got the new covenantal language, and it's the Noahic. I'm trying to say that right. Noahic covenant. Mm-hmm. Now, some people will be using that today. They're like the Noahide laws, they call them. But it's a Noahic covenant, but they're calling them Noahide laws, I guess, because it's easier to say. And some people are trying to say that the Israel and the Jews will be using that to execute people and cut their heads off because they're not abiding by Noah's covenant. And that's a little too far off the deep end for me.
Yeah, me too. I don't see it.
Yeah, because it. I'll have to look into it more, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
I could see it with other religions. I cannot see it with the Jewish religion. I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. And other religions being, even if they're Jews, they still may have another religion because there are many of those who claim to be Jews and that are not.
Right.
So there's that as well. So I guess if you're looking in that and they want an excuse to do that would be it. And I'm not going to mention them because I'm going to pray for all of them, but there are many who I could see doing that.
Yeah, me too.
And misapplying it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to talk real quick about, you know, it says replenish in the King James. Mm-hmm. And this verses we brought up say to fill. And so some people have used that replenish the earth. Oh, look, that means there was a pre-Adamic race. There was no pre-Adamic race. Okay. You have a lot of problems with that whole supposition. Number one, that it never says that. Never says there was anything before Adam. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number two, there's no implications of it. You can say tovu vavohu, and they say, well, it became formless and void. Well, no. The same parsing could just as easily and properly be translated as it came into being formless and void, mm-hmm. not became formless and void.
Right.
And it would have the same parsing. It came into existence formless and void. And there's no gap between day one and day two. There's nothing to imply that. There's just something that is an idea that was trying to reconcile the supposed millions of years that they found with the Christian thing. But you got some big problems with it. You got now there's death before sin. How'd that happen? Those all those animals for millions of years, why'd they die if there was no sin? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then why isn't there the record of it in the Bible? He recorded everything else. It's not. And then they talk about Isaiah. Oh, look, Tovu Vavohu's over here, too. And it talks about the birds fled, and that those were the demons. Yeah. No, but you clearly read that, and it talks about a vision of the future that's going to happen to Israel. Mm-hmm. And it was looking back from a vision in the future. That's all I'm going to say about that. That's why I did it at the end of this first half. So we didn't get too far down the rabbit hole. There was no gap. Okay. Cool idea. But it didn't happen, and don't misinterpret or misconstrue the words that God used. Mm-hmm. The old English for to fill up was replenish. It wasn't a re-anything, mm-hmm. and that's some of the terms they use. It replenished, which means they did it again. No, it means to fill from the mm-hmm. outset, and even mm-hmm. the Hebrew parsing has nothing to do with doing it over again. But we're going to talk about the rest of the good stuff in the second half of this show. So, Lord willing, we will see you in the second half. If you haven't received Christ yet, do it now before we come back. See you in a minute.
Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
Hey everybody, looks like we made it back. Still looking for Jesus to come, and still looking to be here for another 100 years. It's going to be fun.
Amen.
So we're talking about Genesis chapter 9. We started in there, and let me see, we talked about the...
Well, I'll tell you what, before you get going really good, I'll just go mm-hmm. ahead and interrupt you right away, okay?
All right.
Is this looking at Genesis, and, you know, mm-hmm. Noah has now landed, okay, mm-hmm. and everybody's loose, and the Lord has said, go forth and multiply, as he did back in Genesis chapter 1. So mm-hmm. my mm-hmm. question is this like, okay, a restart, a kickstart, let's start over, let's do it again type thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
do you understand the question?
Okay. Yeah, go he ahead. Had to start early. I mean, he started with just a handful of animals, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's like, hey, I got to kill the rest of them off. I often wonder about that. And it's like, and some of them, you can start to see there are people who surmise that some of those nasty dinosaurs were actually, you know, crossbreeds as well, similar
yeah.
to centaurs mm-hmm. and monitaurs and mermaids mm-hmm. and things like that. They were all crossbreeds. And then all the Egyptian fun gods mm-hmm. with the dog-headed people and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's another part there that I wanted you to talk about, too. I know we did early during that early study, but at least touch on it again, the fact that what they were drawing, these hieroglyphics or whatever you call them, and mm-hmm. you know, the drawings in caves, they weren't just making stuff up. This is stuff they actually saw that they were drawing
oh, yeah.
or carving,
how
right?
Could, how yeah. could you make it up?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah,
I just made this up.
Yeah, everybody across the entire planet made up the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were cavemen. Yeah, sure uh-huh. they were.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what else they found yeah. about the caves? They think they go inside and then they got all the stars in some of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what they realized is that inside of those caves, not only the animal pictures and everything else, but the stars were actually lined up in perfect alignment. So if you yeah. took off the roof of the cave, it would match the stars outside.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Right? They can't even do that today.
So, yeah, these were stupid people back then. These were stupid people, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And right. it wasn't that they were just, you know, they were stupid cavemen. It's that they just came off an ark and they haven't built civilizations yet. So mm-hmm. they did live in caves for a while.
Right.
For the protection. But the documentation is all there that they were incredibly intelligent. But you wanted to talk about refilling versus
yeah. I wanted to get into that. You know, is it a start over? Is it a let's restart? Or how exactly would you? Or how does it align
so
or whatever?
It's a restart in the sense that he took from the original stock. Okay. If it was a complete restart, then he would have gotten rid of everybody and then just made brand new creatures.
Right, right.
But what he did is he cleaned out the old mm-hmm. mess. He basically, he pruned it. He cut off yeah. all the cancer out. Okay, and then Jesus talks about that again, as in the days of Noah.
Right.
So this is going to happen again.
Yes.
And again, it's going to be the same thing. Okay, now fill the earth again. Because someone's mm-hmm. going to fill the millennium up, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how many will be there, but at least eight, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The But then you have, you still have Israel is going to rule and reign with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say there'd have to be a good handful of Israelites.
Oh, yeah.
And a good handful of, because it says a great multitude from every race, language, nation, and tongue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there in Revelation 7, after the 144,000, we see the great multitude.
Mm-hmm.
So I surmise that a huge amount of people will die, but there will also be a whole bunch that actually survive into the millennium.
Yeah,
so even though the people who...
there's like two-thirds of Israel, excuse me, two-thirds of Israel is lost. But is there anything, anywhere, because I don't remember it, if there is there anything that says how many Gentiles are left over? Because I don't remember anything in there at all.
The only thing we can build out of that is it says he's going to kill a third of the earth and then a quarter of the earth.
Okay.
So roughly around half will die.
Okay.
At the time. And then you have at the end of that's during the tribulation. And then you mm-hmm. have the end where he judges everybody.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then it says there's people who, you know, are under the altar, if you would. And then the people who are beheaded will actually rule and reign with Christ during mm-hmm. the millennium as well, if they're beheaded during the tribulation. Mm-hmm. But it also talks about there's people that will actually live right through the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, now, and that's a confusing thing, too, and I hate to take us off the study to do this, but whenever you've got the millennium going on, mm-hmm. there's got to, you know, there has to be a base, there's got to be a number of people
yeah.
that are involved there, but if God is, that they haven't hit the great white throne yet, right? I mean, we're not to that
correct.
Point.
Or the end of the millennium, yeah.
Yeah, so... you know, I'm just curious as to exactly how all that works. You know, how the people are left. Why are they left?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't all accept Christ yet, right? They couldn't
That's
have.
Right.
So,
well, not all of them, but I surmise, because the way it looks, it's like Noah. I said Abraham. it's like Noah, and where him and his family were basically the ones that were, you know, led through, and they were righteous. Bible mm-hmm. says he was righteous.
Yeah.
And so I would surmise that there's a righteous remnant that's left.
Okay.
So us that are believers now and believe that he's coming back to get his bride in what we call the rapture,
right,
we will have a special privileged place, similar
right.
to Enoch. Enoch was called up to walk with God.
Right, right.
Okay. And then Noah was protected through the flood. And then came out the other end. So mm-hmm. it's God himself is doing both of those things.
Yeah.
He called them up to be with them, and he protected them.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if, you know, it's people that didn't take the mark of the beast, if those are the
right.
people that are left, not necessarily because they accepted Jesus, but because they didn't reject him. And they're, I'm trying to figure it out in my mind.
I'm kind of figuring this way.
Okay.
Now, there are those of our family, if you would, mm-hmm. who don't believe in the rapture at all.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they're preppers. They're ready to go right through the tribulation, and they're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they're happy to do it. And like, okay, I'm going in the rapture.
Yeah.
You
I'll
say
see you on the other side. Thank
more
you very
power
much.
To you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I see two possibilities here. We have one where all these preppers really are called of God to be those preppers and
mm-hmm.
to preach the gospel during
yeah.
the tribulation, and they will miss the rapture, which is why they don't believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's possibility one. Then possibility two is all the people we have been preaching to finally realize it. Oh my goodness, there was a rapture,
mm-hmm.
and now they turn to the Lord
mm-hmm.
and become the great multitude which fall on their face and worship him during the tribulation.
Right.
Okay. In either case, it is only the righteous people that will be allowed to inhabit the new millennium, if
mm-hmm,
you would.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The just like Noah, it was only Noah and his family, because they were righteous and perfect in their generations, that were allowed to populate. Now, their offspring became whacked.
Okay, now that There it is, right there. I think that's maybe the key that I'm looking for, because you know, if mm-hmm. the righteous, if they're all righteous, then what's the point of going 1,000 years if everybody's already saved? But if you look at it like, okay, these people, yes, they saw it, they've gone through everything, they believe and all that, but that doesn't mean that their kids do or their kids' kids.
Correct.
You know, that's where I see that the breakup, if you will.
Yep, because we all answer individually,
right?
To the Lord. So I think, but that's what I see is, hey, righteous people are going to inhabit it. You know, and I don't know if it's the today's preppers or the ones that get saved at, or probably a combination. But only the righteous going to be allowed in.
Yeah,
and from there they're going to have kids, and you know, someone. Some kid who's born 500 years from now, during the millennium, he's going to be like, oh, yeah, I don't believe those stories.
Right, yeah.
I can see that. There.
Yeah. I can see that. And, you know, I had never looked far enough ahead to say, oh, yeah, there are kids born. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, that really had never occurred to me for whatever reason. Okay, so.
Yeah. And that needs to happen because two things need to be done. Number one, you can't judge the old rulers of the world unless you have something to judge them against. So Jesus has to come and rule in perfection and say, well, you didn't measure up to this. So now I can judge you compared to that. And plus, everyone who's ever born has to have the option of choosing good or evil. As simple as that.
Yeah. Okay. Even those born during the millennium period.
Yeah, so Jesus is going to rule perfectly, and at that point, if you still choose evil, you're even more stupid than Lizard today.
Right.
I mean, come on.
All right, well, I'm sorry to get you off topic, but that has bugged me for a long time, so I wanted to get that straight. So we'll go back now to the fill or refill or whatever, I'll let you answer that one.
It says replenish in the King James. So a lot of people have misused that translation, okay? But the word in the Hebrew is male, okay? Is that M-A-L-E, not male, but male, okay? And so it's male, and it's a primitive root, basically, and it's to fill or intransitively to be full of. So it has a wide application. But the parsing in where it's at, if we look at it, the interlinear, it says be fruitful and multiply and replenish in the King James. But the parsing is, check this out. Parsing is what tense and all that stuff. It's a qualified imperative masculine plural, which means it's not a a redoing. It's not a repeat of anything. It's basically a command to fill.
Everything's new.
Well, it's new in the sense that, okay, I'm going to reiterate the old contract that I had with Adam and Eve to fill the earth. And this is where it gets back. It's just exactly the same word and the same parsing in Genesis 1:28. And no, that's 1:20. That's a thing. And yeah, let me look that up real quick.
Genesis 1:28. Yeah.
And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Mm-hmm. So and there's a couple things that don't really jive here. So some people say, oh, it says replenish the earth. In other words, you're going to redo something. And that's what replenish means. But the problem is it doesn't say that in the Hebrew. There's nothing that says anything in the Hebrew. It's to fill from the beginning in the parsing here. God would be fruitful, multiply.
Which would make sense, because if he was just going to redo everything, and you mentioned this earlier, if he was just going to redo everything, then he just would have wiped everything out, including Noah and his family, and would have started with a brand new Adam and a brand new Eve and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, and who doesn't love Adam and Eve? It's an active voice. But there's nothing in any of the parsing or even the sentence structure that says to do it over, in a sense. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's basically means just to fill it, fill it up, not to refill.
Yeah.
All right? That's the problem. And this came about because in the King James English, replenish meant to fill. It didn't have any kind of a re aspect that we had. It's just incorrect English of the time, if you would. Mm-hmm. Replenish literally meant to fill.
Yeah, and an important part there also is he doesn't say to go and repopulate. It doesn't say repopulate. Right. You know, but he gives exactly the same command that he gives in Genesis 1. Exactly the same thing, right?
Yep, it's the exact same word, the same parsing, and same everything.
Yeah,
okay. Fruitable and then replenish. Like, if you look up all the other translations, New American Standard says, and fill the earth, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. The English Standard has, you know, multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. You got Holman's Christian Standard, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Okay, the One New Man Bible, subdue it, have dominion, and fill the earth.
And to jump ahead quite a bit, but I think it's important to point out that a lot of people are going to say, okay, well, we understand that the earth was basically all together before the flood, you know, because we've talked about the cracking open of the earth and, you know, the waters and all that. Okay, now you've got people and animals in that particular situation that are spread all over the world. Now you've got a flood, and they're all killed off except for the those few people. And so people are going to be saying, well, okay, so then how did they get to their other continents then? If all the other continents are already there, did they have a bridge or something? No, but, you know, we'll jump ahead. As I said, we've got to go to the Tower of Babel, and I know that's coming up, but I just wanted to let people know that, yes, there is an answer for that question, because it's coming. I promise you it's coming.
Yeah, it was ferry boats, actually. They made a bunch of ferry boats. No, that's just someone who's willingly ignorant saying that, because every child can see that all the continents fit together at one point.
Right. Mm-hmm. Easy.
Okay. So they were all together, and when they separated, then they divested in whatever ways suited them at the time. Mm-hmm. See, God in his wisdom gave us so much DNA that whatever environment you find yourself in, he can say, okay, I need this DNA now, and pull that out.
Adjusting it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is an adaptation. That is not an evolution.
Right.
So 100%. There was never, ever, 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 ever once an adding of information to a DNA, what they call a mutation.
Right.
There's never anything that added information. It was all choosing from existing information.
Mm-hmm. Right.
100%. And then when the land broke up, they kind of went along with them. Mm-hmm. And there's other ways too. Sometimes they floated on debris for a while, different things like that. We could see that if it's close enough. But for the most part, they were already spread out, because it wasn't until the days of Peleg, a couple hundred years later or something, that they actually everything split up. Mm-hmm. And it split up quite rapidly, I might add. We see with the filling, every other version without fail says fill and not replenish.
Right.
So if you're going to use the word replenish as your argument to say that there was a pre-Adamic race, it doesn't work. It's not a good argument, because the word is not replenish. Mm-hmm. It's not. Mm-hmm. And the parsing for it, it became formless and void, tovu vavohu. No, it's a better translation is it came into being formless and void, not it became formless and void. It came into being.
Yeah.
So, there's none. And there's nothing to even indicate that, other than pagan religions who try and say, oh, the gods have been here X amount of years. Mm. Jubilees tells us very clearly in chapter 2 that all of the angels were made on day 1.
Yeah.
Okay, which so clearly there was no millions of years before day 1.
Right.
All right. That does give them enough time to see, you know, it talks about, oh, the Job says, oh, the angels rejoice when God laid the foundations of the earth. Well, yeah, they did, because that was on day 3. Okay, and that's what he says. The land and everything came up on day 3. All right, yeah. So if they were there on day 1, they can see that. And they rejoiced. They're like, yay. Yeah. And it's like coming into being. I don't remember the moment I came into being, but I feel like I've been here forever.
Yeah, you know? Tell me about it.
Yeah. And not in the sense that, oh, it's been so long. It's just like I've just felt like I've always been here.
Yeah, and in relation to time itself, and, I mean, we're not even here the length of a blink. Blink. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know.
Boink. Boink. Okay. So that's fun and exciting. Let me see. Where do you want to go from here? Young's Literal Translation. We'll bring that back to New American Standard. Because the literal gets kind of wacky sometimes.
Right. And if y'all are wondering, I'm looking at David's notes over here on another computer screen. So if you see me looking away, I'm not disinterested. I'm interested big time. Go ahead.
Now, when we were in the ocean last week and the water was crystal clear, not like New York City, it was gorgeous. You could look down and you could see the fish.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's cool. And for the most part, the fish run away from you or swim away from you. You know, so it just goes right along. Oh, and then everything that creeps on the ground, every bird in the sky, and all the fish of the sea will have fear and terror of you.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to catch one of them little lizards. They weren't having it.
No chance.
You know, even when I was feeding the chickens, they'd come over and they boop, they take it and they run away.
Right.
Yeah. It's only tricking
me. Yeah. Herbie went yesterday. You know, we saw that. Yeah.
We see him smoking away on a barbecue grill. Now he gave us plants, so that's kind of, I want to touch on that. Originally in Genesis 1:30, it says that he gave them plants to eat, but he gave all the animals plants to eat as well. And they say, "Oh, then what about the dinosaurs and the big?" Well, you could see gorillas with these huge teeth, and they're vegetarians. So the teeth don't really make you a carnivore or not a carnivore.
No.
They're certainly useful.
All they're doing, science is just taking a good guess, and they're making the wrong choice.
Yeah. And they, you know, they have a narrative that they have to push. So. That's that. And for those people who say, well, they're not accredited. Yeah, they're not accredited because you're telling them the truth and they don't want to hear it, so they don't accredit you.
Right.
I blame Rockefeller for that one. So he gave us plants to eat, and they were nutritious. Now, why? I wanted to talk about why. We did just enough time to figure that out.
Okay.
Before the flood, remember, we had a different ecosystem. And they have plants. You can see plants that are huge, you know, and it's the same plant. You can see like a fern today, and it's like the size of a building. You can see remnants of it. A lot of people will make fun of you for this, but, you know, like the Devil's Tower, that looks exactly like a tree trunk. An incredibly large tree trunk, though. Okay, it looks like it was cut off. So and there's a bunch of those all around the planet that all look like trees with tree rings and everything else, and the roots coming down. They're like, oh, they're anomalies. Well, how did it get a flat top? You know, it was cut off at one point for doing what they do. Who knows, maybe Noah used that tree for the ark. I don't know.
Yeah,
but the plants were full of everything that we need. We had a different processing system, which we ate. So before the flood, the plants grew bigger. They grew better. They had the protein we needed. They had you know, different molecular structure, and it was designed that way. The problem is now after the flood, God knew that, okay, I dumbed this down. The planet is not going to be nearly as strong as it was. And that is so these Nephilim couldn't take over again. I'll make them weak for a while, basically. And then I'll come back and save them. And which leads me to, well, when we get, you know, our new bodies, they're going to be huge like they were before. Yeah. So that's going to be cool. So all the plants were good. All our bodies were able to process more out of the plants. So it was enough to sustain us. As we know now, essentially a vegan diet, your body will just deteriorate.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And
so I see how many vegans are going to respond to that. But it's the truth. It may take a while. Okay. But it's going to be less and less because there are things that we need that we just can't get from the plants. So, and even vegan for a while may help cure some things. I mean, reset your metabolism. So that's cool. But essentially, God himself is saying when Noah got off the boat, not beforehand, when he got off the boat, he says, okay, now these animals are food for you. So he must have had a reason for that.
Yeah.
Okay. And the reason is we're not getting all the nutrition we need from the plants anymore because they're not as good and our bodies aren't as good as processing them.
Okay.
Yep. Makes so sense. That was pretty easy. You have a question on that one?
No, it makes perfect sense. It really does. Yeah, I'm right there with you, which is unusual for me, but I'm right there with you.
Yeah, and it was all unusually quick. It's real simple. It's a different ecosystem. So let's just quickly jump into this, and then we'll finish up next week. It says in verse 4 and 5, only you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Surely I will require your life blood, and from every beast I will require it, and from every man and every man's brother I will require the life of him. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. So we can see that, you know, if you're a tree hugger and don't eat animals, animals are not made in the image of God.
No.
Okay.
No.
And he says you can eat them, but you're going to drain the blood out because their soul is in it. They don't have a spirit. The spirit's eternal, but they have a soul, which is all the emotions and everything. So it's a little bit different. But you cannot shed the blood of man because he was made in the image of God.
Right.
And that's where we really have to, you know, dig into that. So that's why when you see the kosher laws, they drain it really good and they salt it because it draws out every last bit of blood. I don't know if it needs to go to that extreme. I could ask the Lord. It's like, even if it's a little bit red, they think there's blood in it. Basically, because they would actually just drink the blood, and that's a pagan ritual.
Witchcraft and stuff. Yeah,
it's all witchcraft. So here's the deal, people: don't drink the blood, don't eat the blood. Okay, but you can eat meat.
Yes.
And it says every moving thing that is alive will be food for you. So we give God all the praise and glory for everything we eat, and you can choose and eat what you want and what you don't want.
Amen.
That being said, we're going to finish this next time around. If you haven't received Christ as your Savior, because that's the new covenant that he signed when he was here again 2,000 years ago, that's the one that we're into today. So receive that covenant with him, and Lord willing, if we're still here, we'll see you guys on the next show. That's it. I'm signing out. We'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show, available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net. This powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 PM Eastern, 7:30 PM Central for life-changing conversations and messages.